Our study this morning comes from Proverbs chapter 30, verses 24 through 28. As we'll note, the inspired Solomon wrote of four small creatures that inhabit the earth, and these creatures can teach us vital and valuable spiritual lessons for today. Now let's note our text, Proverbs 30, 24 through 28. There be four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. The conies, or rock badgers, are but a feeble folk, yet make they their houses in the rocks. The locusts have no king, yet go they forth all of them by bands. The spider, or lizard, taketh hold with her hands and is in king's palaces. So we'll want to study this together this morning and apply it to our lives. And we'll begin that study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to PFE, as we know that stands for what? Preparing for eternity. And everyone, of course, should know that because it's the most important thing we could be doing. Now, we want to take this opportunity to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street here in Martinsville as we come together in our Bible classes. Well, of course, we're studying God's precious Word. And then as we assemble together to worship God, we're striving to do so in spirit and in truth, in accordance to John 4:24, that is, worshiping God with a proper attitude, but also in accordance to the New Testament pattern which He has given us. And I can assure you, you will receive a warm welcome if you join in with us. Something else to mention, we're always looking forward to having Bible studies. If you would want to set one up at your convenience, please let us know. Also, we offer Bible correspondence courses. Hope you'll look into that as well. We have several different topics on that. And something else to mention, we're always glad to answer Bible questions that you may have. Your comments are appreciated, positive or negative. So again, you can write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027, and our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. And at the end of the program, the times of our services are given. Now, let's get into our study this morning, the four small creatures that provide four great lessons for the Church of Christ today. Well, let's mention this first before we get into our text again. You know, when you think about insects and, of course, animals, what comes to mind is the remarkable instincts that God gave them. And since their behavior demonstrates, one, planning, two, organization, three, skill, it should be obvious that they could never acquire such behavior by chance according to the evolutionary hypothesis. It's certainly not a theory. There's nothing to work with. And so these God-created beings, creatures, they would have died out before acquiring their abilities if evolution was the truth, which of course it is not. So that's one lesson right there. But let's ask this question. Why are these small creatures said to be wise? As we started out in verse 24, they are exceeding wise. Emphasize. Well, because the ants make preparation when they have opportunity. The rock badger has protection in the rocks. The locusts has a powerful partnership in banding together. And the spider or lizard occupies a great position in the king's palace. So let us notice how little things really make a difference in our lives, especially when added together. Well, you take a little grain of sand and you keep multiplying that till you have a beautiful shoreline, or one drop of water, but you add to it and it makes great oceans, does it not? Rivers and lakes and so forth. And what about small acts of kindnesses? Does that not brighten up our lives? So when we look at these lessons this morning, or as we look at them rather, let's ask when, where, how, and who. Starting with the ants. When do ants make preparation? Well, notice here the ants are people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. Well, that's right now. You see, they're making that preparation now. In Proverbs 6:6, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. In other words, learn by looking at the ants how they work and get to work yourself. Well, we've all probably heard the story of the grasshopper and the ant, where the grasshopper sang and played during the summer, and the winter came and he was cold and hungry. So he goes to the home of the ant, who worked all summer and was prepared for the winter. And so he asked him for something to eat. What did you do in the summer? Asked the ant. Well, the grasshopper answered, I sang. And the ant replies, well, now you can dance. But something else interesting to look at here is the ants are called people. Verse 25. They live in a community. You may have seen, of course, an ant farm, as children sometimes like to have one, and observe the ants just digging and working and carrying much more than their weight and so forth. Well, they're small, but they're very good workers for their size, are they not? And again, they're living in a community, so they're called people. So, a lesson for us. We should make preparation for eternity, just as our radio program is entitled Preparing for Eternity. Now, some folks want to sow their wild oats. You've heard that. Play around for a while. Wait for a more convenient season. Well, remember what happened with Felix in Acts 24, verse 24. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife, Drusilla, well, that's not really his wife. Someone else's wife. But he took her, which was a Jewess. He sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Notice, and Paul, as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, that would be self-control, which Felix wasn't utilizing. And notice, and judgment to come. What was Felix's reaction? He trembled and answered, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. Did he ever call for Paul to obey the gospel and submit to the will of God? No, we don't read of that, do we? Let's don't sow our wild oats, because you're going to reap a bad crop. Young people especially, take note and save yourselves a lot of heartache. But what about members of the church today who choose not to be a part of the work of the church? Well, now is the time to work, is it not? John 9:4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is today. Well, while it is day, I'm sorry. The night cometh when no man can work. That's right. It'll be too late when the Lord comes again. In 2 Corinthians 6:2, behold, now is the accepted time, the day of salvation. Don't put off obeying the gospel if you know the truth. That's the most important thing we could do, to submit to the will of God and remain faithful even unto our death, to have that home in heaven. Think about it. Preparation. But note now, question number two, where do rock badgers have protection? Well, these rock badgers are pretty helpless. They're feeble, yet they make their home in the rocks. They post lookouts to be alerted at the sign of danger. But what happens when they leave their protection? They're very vulnerable, are they not? Now, where can we find true safety and eternal security? Now, this is not once saved, always saved teaching. Of course not. One can lose their eternal security by leaving the church. But where we can find true safety and eternal security is in the church of Christ, since Jesus died for it, purchased it with his precious blood. It's his body, it's his church. It's, of course it is. Now notice, let's go back to the Old Testament, where we'll find passages referring to God as their refuge and rock of salvation. Starting with Hannah's prayer, we looked at this last Lord's Day, did we not? Hannah, of course, was a great example of a godly mother. But here's her prayer, 1 Samuel 2:2. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. That's right. David, 2 Samuel 22:2 and 3, in his prayer he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my rock. In him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge. Note that. My Savior, thou savest me from violence. And Psalm 62:2, maybe another Psalm of David. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. Psalm 71:3, be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save thee, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Maybe another Psalm of David. Psalm 94:22, but the Lord is my defense, and my rock is the rock of my refuge. Again, possibly a Psalm of David. Not definite on that. But the point was, what's being emphasized here? Protection. The rock. The fortress. The my defense. And you see these terms used again and again. Now note in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 10:4, and did all drink the same spiritual drink? For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. In other words, the second person of the Godhead was with them. Yes, Jehovah God, the angel of the Lord. Now, I'm sorry to have to say this, but you know, and it's true, many people find Jesus Christ a rock of offense. That's sad to say, but it's true, isn't it? 1 Peter 2:8, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. So the point is for us today to learn from these rock badgers. Where they had protection in the rocks, we have protection in Christ as long as we stay in his body, the true church, the church of Christ. Why leave the fortress of the church and lose eternal security? Well, let's go on. We're asking the third question now. How? How do locusts make such a powerful partnership? Well, the locusts are able to be a powerful band without a leader because they are willing and eager to do the work. You know, in Joel chapter 1, verse 6, the locusts are likened unto a nation. And as you go into chapter 2, they're likened unto an army. Well, this is dealing with God's judgment coming upon Judah to get them to repent. And notice verses 7 and 8 of Joel 2. They shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the wall like men of war, and they shall march every one on his ways, and they shall not break their ranks. Neither shall one thrust another. They shall walk every one in his path, and when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. These locusts make a powerful partnership. And of course, we've heard them, in some summers, cicadas and so forth make a loud noise, do they not? And when they attacked a crop in the field, that's rough on the farmers, is it not? And that's what was going on here in Joel's day with the prophecy of what was coming and warning the people to repent. So a lesson for us is to answer the question, how do locusts make such a powerful partnership? Well, they don't oppose one another. They maintain harmony. They're all headed in the same direction and they have the same objective. Well, let's go to 1 Corinthians 1:10, because here is the Apostle Paul, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, dealing with division in the church of Christ there at Corinth. Now, I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that's by the authority of Christ. Remember that lesson we had several Lord's days ago? That ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you. Well, that's what the inspired Apostle Paul was telling the brethren there at Corinth, that they were to speak the same thing and that there be no division among you. Now, how's that possible, Paul? But that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment, by staying with the same standard, the gospel of Christ, following the teachings of Christ, his doctrine, not man's doctrine. We should be all together of like mind when it comes to spiritual matters. But you can see how much division there is in religion today. But it's not God's doing. Oh no, it's just the opposite. Satan is kicking his heels at all this division. Causes a lot of people to miss out on learning the truth. They get caught up in man's doctrines, man's set up churches, not staying with the true church of the Bible. So here's the point of the locusts making a powerful partnership. You see, they're banded together. And this is the lesson for us. We must have a willingness to do the work of the Lord and work together as brethren for the cause of Christ, because there's no greater cause. Is there a greater cause than the cause of Christ? We all know the answer is no, of course not. So we must have a willing mind to work together to the glory of God, not our own glory. Look at 1 Chronicles 28:9, as David is speaking to his son, "And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and a willing mind, for the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee, but if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever." Well, of course, we need to understand a person that leaves the truth, leaves the church, can repent and pray for forgiveness and be restored. So We're not going to take that, cast thee off forever, as if that's not opening a door for restoration, because we understand in the New Testament that's certainly possible. But the point of that scripture is a willing mind. And 2 Corinthians 8:12, for if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. That's right. So let's learn from this. You know, Paul, did he not make the right choice? He was persecuting the church, but he turned his life around, did he not, when he learned the truth and obeyed the gospel. 1 Corinthians 9:17, for if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, you see, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. So let's do this willingly in obedience to the gospel of Christ. Well, let's go to our fourth question. Who is able to be with a great position in the king's palace? Well, spiders or lizards are despised by most people, especially spiders. We generally want to kill them, do we not? But they can be found in the king's palace, especially these little geckos. Well, we've all seen the commercial with the little green gecko. Small lizard. He's very slender and weak. But yet, he can get into the king's palace and hold on to the walls with his tiny hands. And they are very persistent in holding to the walls, even though they are unwanted. Well, what about as Christians living in a secular world with a lot of immorality all around? Look at Matthew chapter 5 as Jesus was preaching on the side of the mount. And he said, blessed are ye. This is in the Beatitudes. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Persecution in the Lord's house or the Lord's church is what we're speaking of. That's very likely. In fact, if we live godly in Christ Jesus, we shall suffer persecution. We know that, do we not, from the scriptures? Well, we should. Certainly this is the case if you stay with the scriptures. Now, here's another verse to look at. Mark 13:13, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And if you have a chance, look at 1 Peter 4, verses 12 through 19. We need to be happy and rejoice even when suffering for the cause of Christ. You know, we may be poor, lonely, destitute, but when we obey the gospel of Christ, we're added to the Lord's church, the King of Kings house, the church of Christ. Who is able to do this? We're asking the question, who's able to be with a great position in the king's palace? Anyone that is of the age of accountability who obeys the gospel is the answer. That's right. What a great lesson this is. Yes. Who is able to be in the King of Kings house, rather to say in his body, the true church, the church of Christ? You know, we sometimes sing the hymn, the gospel is for all. Well, it certainly is. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Matthew 28:18-20. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Mark 16:15-16. So being small, weak, and unimportant in the world's eyes does not mean that we are small and unimportant in God's sight. We may appear to be weak to the world, but you know, 1 Corinthians 1:26-28 tells us, "For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are." We may be downtrodden and an outcast, but God will exalt us when we humbly submit to His will. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. James 4:10. Jesus said, "And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted." Matthew 23:12. Now we've learned the time to prepare for eternity is now. And where is our protection in the only true church, the body of Christ, the church of Christ? How can we have a powerful partnership here at Morgan Street or the congregation where you're working faithfully, hopefully, by a willingness to work together for the cause of Christ? Who is able to be exalted by God? Those who humble themselves in the sight of God. You see the answers to these questions that we've studied this morning. So we come to the last question. Why would anyone reject the Lord's invitation? We stand ready to assist anyone in obeying the gospel of Christ. We have to hear the truth. That's how our faith comes, Romans 10:17. Now, having heard the Word of God, the New Testament, teaching us about Jesus Christ, we're certainly to believe that He is the only begotten Son of God. That must come about, John 8:24. Now we're ready to repent, motivated to turn our life around and go in a new direction. This is changing our will. We're getting out of a sinful life and following Christ and His example that's set before us in the New Testament. We're going to repent of our sins, Luke 13:3-5. Now we're ready to make the good confession unto salvation, stating, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God." Romans 10:9-10, that's unto salvation, so we're not there yet. But the next step is what puts us into Christ. It puts us into contact of His precious blood that washes away our sins in the watery grave of baptism. We're buried into His death and raised up to walk in newness of life. Study Romans 6:3-6. And of course, Galatians 3:27, we're putting on Christ. And now we're added to the body of Christ by the Lord Himself, where we need to remain faithful. We thank you so much for listening today.